doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Please be seated. This is our feast day of our patron saint, Francis. It's one of those days, and it happened 2 weeks ago, when I just wanted to be closer to you. Especially with the last 2 weeks being the way they were. The last 2 weeks have been emotional for a lot of people. Emotional with what we witnessed on TV, with the hearings in Washington, all the talk during this past week. Feeling it, really feeling it. Two sides. People not wanting to talk about it, wanting to talk about it. And then we have something else that's emotional. The Dodgers versus the Braves. Two sides. This last Tuesday night in my office, I returned a phone call. And 20 minutes later, I got off the phone feeling very emotional. It was very hard. And I was very hurt. I was hurt for a couple of days. And when you're hurt, you try to act normal, but you're distracted. And we've all felt that way. And then I had an episode with an electrician. And I felt emotional because I thought I was right. And then I recognized there was an absolute misunderstanding, miscommunication, and so I apologized. That takes emotional energy. So here we are, human beings, feeling what we're feeling today. Francis of Assisi and his father had emotional moments too, very intense. And I think most of you know the gist of the story. Francis came from a very wealthy family. His dad was a prosperous silk merchant, did amazing business in France, there in Italy. So dad traveled a lot. And Francis had wealth to play with, wealth so he could dress well, he partied well. He was popular. With his friends, he joined a military expedition. He was captured right away. He was in prison for a year. A lot of time to think. Came out of prison, was involved in the family business, but already something must have been going on inside of him. Because there he is selling his dad's silk in Assisi, good bucks, and he takes that money and gives it to a homeless person. His dad has a fit. That's not your money. It's my money. And so that's one of the episodes. And there were other episodes where Francis gave away what was his dad's. So there was this tension, and Francis leaves, and he spends time praying in the church of San Damiano. And he has a vision that on the cross, he hears Jesus tell him, "Rebuild my church." And he took it literally. So he sells more of his dad's silks, buys bricks, starts rebuilding the church, builds another one and another one. And eventually he hears in a gospel to go and preach the kingdom of God now. Well, by then, his dad had had it with his son. And so, like filing a lawsuit, he's going to disown his son, and Francis says, "Well, wait a minute, I don't want what you have." So Francis rejects his patrimony, so the two of them part ways in the middle of Assisi. And he leaves Assisi, he dons poor clothing, you know, a one-piece kind of tunic that's rough, and he ties a belt around his waist, and He begins a new way of life. What an event, what an emotional event. Francis of Assisi was not instantly the Francis of Assisi we know now. A long transformation, a long time of listening and wondering and praying and looking at the Bible. He never wanted to be ordained a priest, but he felt a calling to share about Jesus. And his life began to witness that. So he would preach in villages, even though he didn't have a license to do so. But what he said was authentic. And pretty soon, within a year, he had 11 followers. He makes his way to Rome because he wants to be recognized as a religious order. And they get recognized as the Little Friars. This group of men grew and grew and grew. And so did Francis's heart for what God was asking of him. So he decides, feels called to go to more parts of the world than Italy. Would you believe he eventually went to Morocco, got sick, that didn't work well, comes back home, goes to Egypt to talk to the Sultan, wants to convert all the Muslims, that part of the world. That didn't go well, but you can only do so much. He's given permission to go to the Holy Land. So he makes his way to the Holy Land. And ever since his time in the Holy Land, would you believe, that section is under Franciscans. They are the ones that are officially looking after the holy city of Jerusalem. So meanwhile, Francis makes his way back to Assisi, to Italy, to the hill towns of Umbria. And like we heard in the second reading, he got fed in nature. For him, every living creature, whether a bird, an animal of any kind, and every human being, reflected the presence of the Spirit. He identified with creatures so much, he called them brother and sister. He called it brother sun, sister moon. All of this, one family in God. Radical then and radical now. I don't say to my dog, hello, Sister Gracie. I just say hello and I love her up. But all of us, wow, if we thought of all of creation, of having the vibration and the energy of the Spirit of God, every human being having the vibration and energy of the Spirit of God, wouldn't that change the way we act? We hear it, we nod our heads, we lead church, and then we're busy. So Francis was busy with a preoccupation of wanting to share the kingdom of God, to share Jesus. He totally identified with Jesus. So much so that one day when he was in prayer, one of his brothers witnessed Francis in prayer, and he could tell that Francis was having a vision. And Francis was looking, and Francis was open to this vision. And this brother sees on the body of Francis, the wounds of Jesus are forming on his hands, on his feet, and in his side. In our scripture today, Paul says, I carry the marks of Jesus branded on my body. Paul went through hardships, sick, shipwrecks, and all kinds of experiences that literally caused physical pain because he was in prison. The shipwreck was painful. He's injured. And now we have Francis in a vision receiving the wounds, the marks of Jesus on his body. He's the first Christian that we know of that received this, and it's called the stigmata. I don't know how you feel about that. It doesn't turn me off. It calls me to realize that identification of Francis in and with and through the love of Jesus was so intense. There was almost a vibrational energy exchange, a frequency of love that broke through the physical. And the two became one. And we are called to that kind of unity. So what is your attitude, your intention, your relationship with Jesus? Throughout Francis's life, he always tried to grow in his relationship, in his sense of who Jesus wanted him to be on earth. And he continued to identify with where he found the Spirit of God present. So there is this story of Francis's faith in the power of God. In the hills of Umbria, there was a village that was being harassed by a huge wolf. Our statue of St. Francis is Francis standing next to a wolf with his hand on his head. So Francis hears that this wolf has killed cattle, it's killed their pets, there's even been a loss of life, and his heart is affected by the suffering of the people of this village. So Francis is going to go up into the hills to find this wolf. His brother friars say, go right ahead. And he goes up by himself. And there's the wolf. There is this other moment now where the vibration, the energy, the love of Francis is so real, this wolf does not attack him. And Francis walks up to the wolf, and they have a conversation. Francis says to him, you should not be killing the cattle, the pets, or human life. Now, I wasn't there. I don't know exactly how they talked about it. But it is recorded that they had this moment that was so powerful. Francis says to the wolf, now come with me. So the wolf and Francis go into the village. People freak out. Francis is standing there with the wolf. And Francis says to the people, the reason the wolf has been attacking you is because the wolf is hungry. So let's make a deal. Okay, if they feed you, you won't attack them. And will you feed the wolf? And there was an agreement that they would not attack. He would not attack the people, and the people would feed the wolf. Francis did one more thing. He said to the dogs, leave him alone. Dogs said, fine. This is a powerful story. Is it legend? I don't know. But it was handed down because sometimes we need stories to tell us the truth. That within every person there is a power. That's why I pray before I preach. Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is doing more than we could ask for or imagine. And I need to be there that this power of God is doing more than anyone imagines in Washington, on either side of the aisle. God loves both sides of the aisle. God loves the Dodgers. God loves the Braves. God is doing more in any moment, even when you feel hurt after a phone call, because it's a part of transformation. We can choose to not cooperate with God's power, with God's love. We can stay stuck. Or we can take the radical step of believing in a movement of grace even when we can't see it or feel it. That in this earth right now, there is the presence and power of the Spirit moving us toward a unity in a cosmic Christ, one for all of us. Did Francis have down moments? Absolutely. And then he would return again and again to the Jesus that said to him and says to us, "Come to me, all you that are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." It's the same Christ. And Francis says to all of us, "I have done what is mine to do. Now you must do yours." Amen.